Well, right now is about the time that you might be thinking of what a New Year's resolution might look like for you. So that way, within a couple of weeks, you'll be well on your way to breaking that. But Ashley Michiké from True North Retirement Advisors is joining us today. She's got a plan for optimizing your savings for financial stability. And I think this would be a great project for the new year. You're not going to want to break it. Good morning, Ashley. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, Brenda. It's great to be with you.
It's always a good morning when you join us. Now, leading up to this, we've been talking about how to get finances under control and kind of get rid of some of the anxiety that we have around money and our debt and things like that. But as we move into this new year, some people might be thinking, all right, I'm going to get out of the debt that I got myself into. So that way, when I move into this new year, I'm really going to work towards using my money and the gifts really that God has given me and have a good plan for it. And you've got a plan that you're going to work through for all of us that I think will be perfect to embark on in this new year. So again, this all has to do with about planning financially. First, let's just talk about why it's so important to know where you want to get to so that way you can get the plan underway that's going to get you to your goals.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think a lot of people don't think about this, but everybody wants financial stability and security and to not have to worry about the basics like paying your bills and, you know, how you're going to get through the next month. But then thinking more longer term, you know, most of us would like to stop working someday and have the funds to be able to live comfortably later in life, beyond just relying on Social Security or friends or family or the government to help us. So it's all about getting stronger financially and being in a better position financially and getting to the point, even if you're not there yet, getting to the point eventually where you're on very solid ground financially. And unfortunately, most Americans just aren't there. So we have to start somewhere. And so I have this optimizing your savings and kind of how to approach things. So it's similar to like the, if you're familiar with Dave Ramsey's baby steps.
Sure.
It's similar to that. So you kind of start where you are because you don't want to get overwhelmed by trying to tackle five different things at once. So it's a nice step-by-step process. You can kind of check the boxes as you go.
All right. So you have this on this nice chart. And for our listeners, I'll be sure to add a link to where you can see everything we're about to talk to, because you should print this out. Keep this in your office on your desk or put it on your refrigerator so that we are constantly reminding that this is the plan for the new year. And let's start with the very first easiest step, and that's creating an emergency fund. Now, what do we need in that fund?
Yes, that is step number one. And $50 is better than nothing. $100 is better than $50. So the idea is that it may take some time, but a good place to start is right around $1,000. Because if you can build up to $1,000, that's going to help you take care of a lot of the emergencies that might come your way without putting that on a high interest rate credit card or stressing about how you're going to pay for that particular bill or emergency. So I think right now, 40% of Americans can't cover a $400 emergency.
Wow.
So this is a problem for many, many Americans. And it's a big reason why many of us feel very stressed about our personal financial situation, because we don't have that safety net that the emergency fund provides.
Okay. So Ashley, you said $1,000, and I've heard that number for a lot of years, that is the emergency fund. But is that really enough in these day and age? Say, you know, your refrigerator breaks. Well, to find a $1,000 refrigerator might be a little tough. Things are very expensive. But $1,000 to $2,000, or really $1,000, should be enough just to begin with.
Yeah, that's a great place to start. Again, we don't want to get overwhelmed, but ideally, if you could build up about 6 months of whatever you spend in a given month, so whatever that amount is, have 6 months worth of that set aside for larger emergencies.
Okay.
So this would be like a major medical bill, a refrigerator that you don't want to buy off of Craigslist
okay.
that's used. but also, one of the conventional advice is about 3 to 6 months, but I would actually go past that and say 6 months at a bare minimum. And part of the reason is a lot of people, if you lose your job, if you're laid off, it's not easy to find work, and that can be a problem. So you don't want to be in a situation where you're out of work for longer than you expect, and now you're worried about, okay, how am I going to pay my rent? How am I going to pay my mortgage? And so having 6 months there gives you that breathing room. Again, it's all about breathing room and having options. And then you're not overwhelmingly stressed about trying to find just any job. You can look for the right job and take your time. And that's the most valuable thing that an emergency fund provides, is that breathing room and the ability to make thoughtful decisions rather than decisions that are based on stress and fear and anxiety because you're not sure how you're going to survive.
Gotcha. And then Ashley, just real quickly, then that, let's say you do get the ability to save up 6 months or maybe more. Should that be just sitting in a regular savings account, or do you want to try to maybe, since it's just money that's going to be waiting for the possibility, do you try to keep that in something that's earning a little bit higher interest?
Yeah, that's a great question. You don't want to let it just sit in your savings or your checking account because you'll earn about 4.5 cents of interest. So the interest rate just sitting in cash is pretty low. A lot of banks will offer a high yield savings option. And that's great for emergency funds because it tends to come with balance requirements. You know, you have to maintain a certain minimum balance, or, you know, there's strings attached to it. But it's not difficult to find a high-yield savings account or a money market fund or something where it's liquid and accessible, because that's the key. We need to be able to access it at any time and not risk losing money by having it invested in, you know, the stock market or something. That's
gotcha.
Not what that's for. But right now, you know, you should still be able to get 3.5%, 4%, maybe even more than that. And I wouldn't settle for earning pennies on the dollar for what you're putting your money in there and the savings for, because then you're just losing money when you consider inflation and the cost of living and how the cost of everything goes up over time.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Ashley Michikay is the managing principal at True North Retirement Advisors, joining us today to help us get a plan to optimize our savings for our financial stability. And it'll be perfect for this new year. All right. The second step you talk about is a 401k match and HSA contributions. What should those look like?
Yes. So the next step, once you have a comfortable emergency fund, and it may not necessarily need to get up to that six-month mark, but if you're progressing in that direction, then the next step is really to look at starting to save for the long term. So HSA or health savings accounts, not everybody has access to these, but if you do, it's an incredible way to be able to save not just for health-related medical expenses now, but also invest that money for the future. And I put that as a high priority because it is such a generous treatment as far as taxes are concerned. So there's no other retirement or investment account that matches how that money is taxed, because you get a tax break on the money going in, it grows tax deferred, and it's tax-free on the withdrawals. And there's no other retirement account that checks all three of those boxes. So that's why it's so high in the priorities. A lot of people ask me, like, why do you have that number two? And that's why. But then
okay.
The other one is 401k contributions. So if you have a retirement plan at work, generally, whether it's a 401k or some other type of plan, your employer is going to provide some type of matching contribution. And generally, it's incentive-based. So, you know, if you contribute 3 or 4%, they're going to contribute 3 or 4%, but you don't want to miss out on that match by not contributing. Because a lot of times, if you do zero, you'll get zero in terms of matching. So just make sure you understand what your workplace retirement plan matching formula is and how to maximize that. And it's generally in the 3 to 5% range. So if you contribute 3 to 5% of your paycheck, most employers are going to match somewhere in that range as well. And then now you have a meaningful amount of money that's going towards long-term goals like retirement.
All right. All great tips. Ashley Michikay joining us this morning from True North Retirement Advisors. All right, Ashley, we have got 4 more steps to go, but I'm already against my break. Stay with me through the break, and we're going to talk about more financial stability in our next half hour. Stay with us. And I'm back this morning with Ashley Michikay, the Managing Principal at True North Retirement Advisors. In our first half hour, we began a great conversation on how to optimize your savings for financial stability. And this might be a great plan for you leading into the new year. If you've been worried about your finances and you don't want to feel that way anymore, well, this is a great way to get you out of that anxiety. Ashley, thanks so much for staying with us this morning.
Thanks, Brenda.
All right. So in our first half hour, we talked about the creating this plan. You've got to have this emergency fund, and then you're going to take advantage of your 401k match and also a health savings account. Now, let's move on to getting out of some higher interest rate and debt. Tell us what we need to do for step 3.
Yes. Step 3 is all about eradicating debt from your life. And so specifically, we want to focus on higher interest rate debt, so that would be credit card debt, and also student loan debt. Student loan debt tends to have a little bit higher interest rate as well, but it's the credit card debt that really, really hurts in the long run because the interest rate there is insane. It's well above 20% now. And so once you have an emergency fund, once you are set aside just a little bit, you know, 3, 4, sometimes 5% of your pay towards retirement and long-term savings, we want to build that foundation of focusing on the long-term. And then we really want to get aggressive about paying off debt. And sometimes this can take years. So there's various ways to go about this. If you Google debt avalanche method, debt snowball method, there's lots of ways where you can make a plan to eliminate debt. Ideally, we wouldn't get into debt in the first place.
Sure.
We talked about that a couple of times ago, but it's just the reality for a lot of people is they find themselves in credit card debt, student loan debt, and it's really hard to get off that hamster wheel. But if you want to make any sort of progress towards long-term financial stability, it's absolutely essential.
All right. So get out of debt. I think it was our last conversation, Ashley, that you talked about being allergic to debt, that's really what we want to think about when we are getting ready to make a purchase. That, yeah, if I'm going to go in debt, it is really going to cause me some being uncomfortable. And so we should have that feeling of being allergic to it. All right. Step number 4 is now working towards that retirement. How do we need to do that?
Yes. So back in step 2, we're doing just a little bit, enough to get some matching dollars from your employer, which is a really common setup for most people. But then beyond that, once you've eradicated debt, now we want to start saving more meaningful amounts towards retirement. That's really going to give you flexibility and options and get you to a place of financial independence sooner. And so a general guideline is that if you can consistently save about 10% of your income towards retirement for your entire working career, then that's going to give you the most options. So again, if you have a 401k plan or a similar plan at work, a lot of times those have high enough contribution limits, so you can get to that 10% target just through saving in your 401k or your employer's plan. And so the idea is that we want to make sure that we're on track for retirement. And, you know, generally for most people, that's going to be in your early to mid 60s. But saving a meaningful amount, you know, 10% or more towards retirement is really going to help you have the most options when you get to that stage of life.
All right, Ashley Mushike, you recognize that voice. She is a part of our Leadership Circle member at True North Retirement Advisors. All right, we are well on our way. We've got two more steps that we want to tackle for this new year. And let's look at some of those other goals in step five.
Okay, this is where people disagree with me all the time. Oh. And where Americans, I think, get it completely backwards. Is that before they establish adequate emergency funds, retirement savings, before they pay off their high interest rate student loan debt, they want to put money and save for a house. And I understand it's a very worthy goal, but you should not be setting aside money or buying a house until you are on track for financial stability and financial security, financial independence. So most people will not do this in step five, but I would advise most people they'd be better off financially in the long run if they tackled steps one through four first, and then once they're on track for the long-term goals and emergencies and they're getting out of debt or well on their way, now we can start saving to buy a house.
Okay.
If you have kids, here's where you would start saving for their college education. If you would, you know, we want them to not have crushing amounts of student loan debt. Even like a really big dream vacation. That's another area. A lot of people will take vacations they have no business taking because they can barely pay their normal bills, and they just, you know, put it on a credit card and figure out, okay, I'll figure this out later. But we really, if we're gonna save for a house and save for some of these other goals, we really need to be on solid financial footing and focused on long-term savings like retirement before we plunge a bunch of money into saving or buying a house.
Okay, because we know that when you buy a house, there are so many more expenses that come along just with the sheer upkeep of it, and along with property taxes and insurance and, well, all of the other things that you need to do in order to have your own home. All right, good one. All right, so let's look back. We've talked about emergency funds, your 401k match, getting out of debt, focusing on retirement, and then looking at these other goals. Well, that sure feels like that's all of it, but there is one more step for financial stability that you have. What is it?
Yes, if you've checked all those other boxes, one of the things you could focus on now really comes down to personal preference. So a lot of people would feel they'd sleep like a baby every night if they were completely debt-free. So this is a stage where many people will start considering, okay, I have additional funds to either invest or pay off other debt. So you could consider paying off your mortgage at this phase. If you want to maximize your savings and investment, but you've already maxed out, say, your saving limits in your 401k, then you might consider saving in other places like a taxable investment or a brokerage account. So there's lots of options at this stage of places where you could either focus on additional savings and investment, or you could focus on paying down your debt. And again, once you've crossed all those other boxes off, then you can really focus on, okay, what do I need to do next? What's going to help me feel the most at peace with where my financial situation is?
All right. These are fantastic. And Ashley, from what I can read here and from our discussion today, this really is long-term goals. This is not something that maybe the vast majority of us will be able to do in exactly 1 year. But boy, starting in January with step one is exactly what you need to do to finally get to step six. These are great tips. Thank you so much for being with us. And is there more information people can find at True North Retirement webpage?
Yes, absolutely. If you go to truenorthra.com, in the upper right-hand corner, you can actually book a free 15-minute call with me. So if you have any questions about your own situation, that's a great way to reach out and get a hold of me.
All right, fantastic. Ashley, thank you so much for being with us today, for all of your great advice, and Happy New Year.
Thank you, Brenda. Happy New Year to you, too.
And again, to find this full chart and information on True North Retirement Advisors, I will be sure to add a link that'll get you all of that information we've talked about. You'll find it on today's podcast at materdeiradio.com and on the Hail Mary Media app.